In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, confession is good for the soul, right? Anybody in here play the lottery? Okay. See a lot of people shaking their heads, a lot of people not moving at all, any inch of their body. I'll confess, every once in a while, I will go and buy a Powerball ticket. Okay, I wait until it's like $300-400 million, right? The real money to make it worth it, you know? That's supposed to be a joke, right? Because, right. And the number of times I bought a Powerball ticket, I mean, I could count on these two hands. I remember distinctly, because I was such a rebel, at 18 years of age, I didn't go out and buy cigarettes. I went out and bought a lottery ticket. I thought I was bad. Well, turns out playing the lottery is, in a way, biblical. If we look back to the story in the book of Acts today, we see that there is a bit of a lottery going on. We have this scenario where the disciples have decided that 12 is the magic number. We need 12 people who are in charge. Imagine it, if you will, sort of like the world's first vestry. And they decide they need to replace Judas on this group of 12. And so they have these two guys that are nominated. This one guy named Joseph, Barsabbas, Justice, and this other guy named Matthias. And they cast lots to see who it is, right? Because they can't pick, they don't want to vote, they don't know exactly how to do this, but they feel like this sort of quote-unquote lottery game of chance will give God the opportunity to actually pick one for them. So this happens, and Matthias is the one who is selected. It's interesting to note, though, that there have been weirder ways to select people in positions of authority in the church over the years. But our brothers and sisters in the Coptic tradition, that is the traditional Egyptian church, the one founded by St. Mark in Alexandria way back when, to this day, whenever they select their hierarchy, their bishops, they have the nominees, and they're put in a crystal bowl, and they blindfold a little kid, and the little kid reaches in, picks out a name, and that is their new bishop. Our brothers and sisters in the Moravian tradition did something similar for a long period of time. Now, Moravians, we don't really hear too much about, not a major thing in this area. If you go down towards Winston-Salem, Moravian churches, my personal favorite, Moravian cookies, if you ever get a chance to try those. But they selected bishops the same way, only except they put an extra slip of paper in that says none of these, okay? I kind of feel like our elections in the United States would benefit from having that choice to check off sometimes, but still. And according to their tradition, they went through this period where they were trying to select a bishop, and the kid kept pulling out none of these, and they decided that was God telling them that they weren't supposed to have bishops anymore. So we have a tradition in Christianity of selecting people almost by random, but allowing the Spirit to sort of settle in and be the guiding force that finds someone to go out and do something. To be in leadership, to be the people who are going out and proclaiming the gospel. Now, my brothers and sisters, we have two possibilities in our life, right? We can identify with Matthias, the one who is selected to go out and empowered to be one of the apostles, to preach the good news, to live as a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or we can be Joseph and go, whew, dodged a bullet there. I don't have to be the one to go out and do anything, right? I can continue doing my little sit in the pew, don't have to raise my head too much, don't have to serve on the vestry, don't have to do this, don't have to do that, don't have to make decisions. I fear, my brothers and sisters, that far too often, most of us, if not all of us, want to identify with Joseph. Oh, good, I dodged that bullet. I don't have to be the one to go out and do these things. However, there was, in this lottery, a 50-50 chance that one of them was going to be selected. Both of those men knew that there was an equal chance that they would be the one allotted to take this leadership role. Here's the deal. I believe that in each and every single one of us, we too have a dual lottery system, right? The Lord has the opportunity to reach down and, in fact, call us to ministry. You have a 50-50 chance of being called to active ministry. But it's slightly different than what Joseph and Matthias faced. You have the opportunity to either select, yes, I will go, Lord, or no, thank you. Here's my question for each and every single one of us. Do we really want to say no, thank you to the call and opportunity to be ministers and heralds of the good news of Jesus Christ? Do we really want to sit passively by and let ministry go on without us? Do we really want to be passive whenever we have the opportunity to stand up for Jesus? I myself don't want to take that chance. I feel like I have a better chance winning that Powerball than I do of missing the mark on what it is that my Savior calls me and wants me and needs me to do in this very broken and hurting world. Here's another sort of tidbit to this story. Fun fact, we don't know a whole lot about Joseph or Matthias. We know, however, that they both wound up martyred. We know that Matthias was stoned to death somewhere by the Caspian Sea. And my mind is drawing a blank on what happened to poor Joseph. I believe that he was killed somewhere outside of Jerusalem. And so both of these men, although one was not ultimately selected for a leadership role, were still actively engaged in ministry, actively going out and preaching the word, and both gave their life for it. Both took up responsibility. Not being chosen to be a leader does not mean that you get to abdicate your responsibility to be a faithful witness. All of us have that calling. All of us have rolled the dice and we've hit 7. We are Christians. We are called. We are empowered to go out and preach that good news. We are the people for whom the world needs to hear goodness and love and mercy and kindness and the over and abounding love that God has for every single one of his children across this world. We can go do that. Question is, are we hopeful that somebody else will do it for us? Or are we going to take up our cross? Hear the prayer that Jesus prayed over his disciples, and by extension, prayed over us. Are we going to listen to the call of our Savior? Are we? I pray that we do, because our Lord has prayed that we always will. And by him and his love and the power of the Holy Spirit, each and every single one of us can accomplish that task that God has set before us. It is difficult sometimes to do those things. It is sometimes difficult to love. It is sometimes difficult to care. But we have the ability to do it. We can be empowered. All we have to do is accept that prayer that Jesus prayed over his disciples. Take upon us that mantle of leadership in the church, and be the people God needs us to be. Although we won't, hit 7 every time, we're going to keep playing. We're going to keep loving. And one of these days, we really will hit the jackpot when we hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen.